to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Our broadcast is coming to you live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday afternoon. And again, we'll be live for the full hour today, looking forward to sharing with you a devotional message. Followed up, of course, as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour and invite our listeners to join us with your comments, questions, perhaps a testimony. We heard some wonderful testimonies yesterday on the broadcast from a group of our young Bible college students that made their way down to Richmond, Virginia for a weekend outreach. And, well, we're just hearing such glowing reports from that outreach. And then another one coming up as they'll be heading out to the western part of our country, out to Arkansas. And again, so much of these different and various outreaches continue here, even during the month of January, not only locally, but around the globe as much as is possible, given the nature of the ongoing pandemic. So good things continue to happen here, not only at the Grace Hour, but also at the Greater Grace World Outreach here in Baltimore, Maryland. So we look forward to your testimonies, counseling needs, perhaps. And always your prayer requests are welcome here live on the Grace Hour. So when those phone lines are open, it's quite simple. You can join us. Simply pick up a phone, dial one of the following numbers, toll-free in North America. That toll-free number is 800-338-7060. Again, that is the toll-free number, 800-338-7060. And the local number, 410-483-3700. And we want to welcome our local listeners tuning in to the Grace Hour and our local station. And we broadcast live in Baltimore Monday through Friday from 1 to 1:30 p.m. And that's WRBS. And you can find WRBS on your AM dial. 1230 are the numbers on your AM dial. And tune in and listen to the Grace Hour live in the first half hour locally. And then, of course, everyone else is listening live on the internet at gracehour.org. And those of you in Baltimore, when our program ends after the first half hour, if you can find a way to transition over to the internet, it'd be our pleasure to have you for the full hour-long broadcast. Everyone else, again, is listening to the Grace Hour, as we said, on the internet and Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and grateful for all of you that can join us for the Tuesday edition of the broadcast, and we hope you'll join us a little later when we open those phone lines and start to take your calls. Our theme this week, God sent his word to heal. And I think that many of us, well, all of us for that matter, who have received God's word have been healed, even as it says in Psalm 107, verse 20, healed and delivered from the destruction that was brought into our lives because of sin and because of the fact that we were living our lives without God. When his word came, we were delivered from that destruction. God brought healing into our souls. And as we mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, sometimes when the subject of healing is brought up, so many people limit that healing to simply the body, whereas God, again, he sees the bigger picture, and he knows that a great deal of healing has to deal with people's souls. Healing from the past, healing from some poor decisions that have really complicated their lives, healing from wounds, broken hearts. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. But the healing that God brings, it's deeper. It's even more serious than physical healing, and we're not taking anything away from that. And we know that many of our listeners tuning into the Grace Hour are believing God and asking him and trusting him for healing, and we will do that together with you. But I think it's fascinating in Matthew's gospel, the ninth chapter, when Jesus entered into a ship, passed over, came into his own city, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven thee." Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemes." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore you think this evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk,' but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." Of course, he needed physical healing, but notice what Jesus said to him: "Your sins are forgiven." And I think the correlation between, walking the way God wants us to walk through this life and receiving the forgiveness of sins, you can't miss that principle. In other words, our walk, the way we live our lives, is dramatically impacted if we believe that our sins have been forgiven. The word of forgiveness has a healing impact upon our souls. The word of God's acceptance of who we are has a healing impact upon our souls. The word that God sends to bring us to a place and a position where we are seated together with him in heavenly places, that has a healing impact on our souls. And again, that healing, it reaches the mind, it reaches the emotions, it reaches the will, the conscious part of us, and even the unconscious part of us. It really impacts the five aspects of a man's soul and brings healing into that soul. And again, there are many, I'm sure, that could join us live when the phone lines are open and give testimony to that fact, that God has healed them. And yes, it may be physical in its nature, but it's even deeper than that, because God, he always seems more ready to do to meet the deepest needs of our heart. And he does exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in our lives. So God's healing, it's so rich, it's so deep, it goes beyond the realm that we sometimes think needs healing in our lives, and it does an even deeper work. This man, yes, he walked again, but it was almost as if when Jesus spoke to him that he realized this man needed mercy more than he needed new muscles to be able to walk. And sometimes we need the same thing. We need God's mercy in our lives. We need God's grace in our lives. We need the forgiveness to flood our hearts and to impact our souls. And that makes all the difference in our lives. It can, God's healing can be brought into a relationship. God's healing can be brought into a marriage. God's healing can be brought into a family that has been broken and seemingly on the verge of bankruptcy, and it can turn that family around. It can turn that relationship around. It can reconcile a marriage. And again, God does this all by sending his word. And I was thinking of the correlation between God sending his word and healing, and the fact that he sent his son. And Jesus is referred to in John's gospel as the Word, and the Word that created the world as we know it. Before anything existed, the Word was. And then we read in that first chapter of John's gospel in verse 14, "And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And where would we be if God did not send his son, who he calls the Word? And where would we be if the Word did not become flesh, tabernacled in a human body, knowing that the healing that Christ would bring would, again, bring about a brand new relationship in people's marriages, families, their homes, their friendships, forgiveness of sins, acceptance by who God is, and adoption into his family, and on the list can go. All of this happens because of the Word of God. And this is why we set such a high value on the proclamation of the Word. And I think we could also say, along with that, that so often healing doesn't happen because sometimes we neglect to get ourselves to that place where we can hear the Word of God. How important is it that we keep assembling together? And maybe ask a more important question, why do we assemble together as often as we do? Because healing comes from God's Word. Healing can be found in the message. Healing is found in the presence of God, with the presence of His people, in the midst of the congregation. Again, yes, that can be physical healing. But again, God is interested in healing the soul, healing the mind, delivering people from their past, and giving them a brand new identity through His grace. So just some thoughts to consider as we again start our Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. The healing power of God is something that we need. It's something that is progressive. It's always happening in our lives. And to neglect that, the Word that God sends, to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, would be to neglect the healing that God wants to bring into our lives. And we are living in such a broken world, in a world so contaminated by sin, a world that every day seems to bring more complicated and difficult situations in which people find themselves living. And yet God stands ready to send us His Word. That Word has the power to heal. It has the power to deliver. It has the power to rescue people from a life that's shipwrecked, that's just, you know, some who could be listening today may even feel as though they're drowning because of the way their lives have unfolded. Well, God has a plan to rescue you. It's through His Son, and it's through the Word that He sends. Healing is available to every one of us. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how high your sins are stacked. We have a God who always, through His power and His grace and love, overcomes sin. The power of the blood of Jesus always overcomes the power of sin. We need to remember that, because that blood that Christ shed has the power to redeem us, to save us, to make us brand new creatures, and to give us all a brand new beginning. So just some thoughts to get us started on this Tuesday afternoon. We have great news. Pastor Schaller has made his way back from the country of Finland and is joining us live in the Grace Hour studios today. Welcome back.
Great to be back, Pastor. What a good time we had over there. And in the Helsinki airport, when I was leaving, I listened to your message at the 11 from the day before, which was, I was Monday night. Let's see, what time about was that? Monday, sometime in the afternoon, I got your message on the at 11 o'clock. It was great.
Yeah, good time.
Sovereignty of God.
Yes.
And then what you just shared, that I do believe a healthy church is one where the Word is living, where people are being ministered to in their faith, and the Spirit is encouraging them. And then we share it with each other, and there's life in that sharing. And we are in really the Word of God. We have different phrases for it. Word of God revival. We have God gave the Word, and great was the company that published it. We had Bible college students pile in some cars and drive to Richmond, Virginia, and they came back really rejoicing because of it. They just had a very, very good time. So around the world, when you have an assembly and God is giving the Word, and that Word is actually a spiritual Word that is helping believers, then there is healing in that Word. But you mentioned in your open comments that there are people that are in a way kind of, we could say, cast away. You know, do you remember Gilligan's Island?
Sure, yeah.
Tell us about it. What do you remember?
You know, they just went out for a three-hour tour. and the weather started getting rough, and the tiny ship was tossed. And then they were stranded on an island. I don't know. It was about seven of them all together, I guess.
Okay, okay.
And there they were, castaways.
Castaway on an island. Now that word is used in 1 Corinthians 9:27 when Paul says, I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So in the Strong's Concordance, it's failing to pass the test, unapproved, counterfeit, or, and by implication, worthless. Like I could be, in a way, lost. There's a proverb. It says that the man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 21:16. What do you think the congregation of the dead is? Have you ever been to one of those congregations?
I hope.
Have you been at the center of one of those?
Have I led such a congregation?
Have I been the pastor of that congregation?
I hope not. That would be, you know, a terrible position to be in life. That's for sure.
Yeah. Let's describe it. I leave the understanding. He wanders out of the way of understanding. The wandering sounds like he hasn't like deliberately departed intentionally with a goal in mind. He just kind of wandered. He just drifted, you know, out of the way. It kind of has the castaway idea that I got lost in the sea of confusion. I lost my bearings. I lost my orientation. I found myself in the congregation of the dead. I've wandered out of the way of understanding. Now, when the Word of God is given, one of the things that happens is understanding. I've asked a number of people in our congregation, particularly new people through the years, why are you here? And they say, I understand the Bible. I am understanding what you are saying. I understand. I am learning. I've learned more in the last year than I have in my entire Christian life. So whatever congregation that is, that's a place to be. Because that understanding is really where, you know, God is the teacher. God is the one that wants us to understand. He unveils. He takes the lid off the pot and shows us. The apocalypsis. That's the idea of taking the lid off. Let's say that, unfortunately, a Christian who is emotional, who is not in the Word, he's not being fed the Word, he is subjective, maybe even superstitious or traditional. He just has a traditional, and tradition, we love it. Tradition is a good thing. But if that's all that I have are the forms and the habits, and without the understanding, without a deeper understanding, then I will be in the congregation of the dead. And that's what it is to be a castaway. To go back to Strong's, unapproved, counterfeit, I would be, you know, maybe going through the motions, but in a way not capable of passing the test. Proverbs 24:10, if I fail in the time of testing, my strength is weak. There needs to be an impartation of God by His Spirit to the believer as a way of life so that that believer is able to endure and find rest for his soul.
Mm. That's the beauty of receiving God's words. It does. It provides rest. It provides assurance, security. I think of what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 15:16. He said, I found your words, and I ate them. You know, the assimilation. Not mm-hmm. enough. It's just not enough to be exposed to the word. You've got to mix faith with it. You've got to listen. And, you know, I remember those days of Bible college when Pastor Stephen said, you've got to concentrate. You've got to give your full, undivided attention to the mm-hmm. word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah said it. You got to eat them. And then he said, and your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I mean, who doesn't need joy and rejoicing? I mean, that's healthy. And I think that the word of God does that. It infuses health.
Sunday night, we were in Riihimäki, Finland, at Pastor Juha's house, and a good group of people assembled there, and some new people that I didn't know at all. I think there were five of them, I think total were 20 or 30 people. And we just enjoyed it a lot. And as I did the whole week in Finland, we went to four different cities. And what I recognize is that these people, you know, when you receive from God, it sticks. It stays with you. You enjoy it, and you actually look for more. And I just say, we are saying today that in the program, that there is the both things that happen. One is when Jesus comes, and two or three are gathered in his name, there really is, he is there, and there really is life there. What kind of healing? You mentioned different kinds. Also, the understanding, you mentioned Sunday morning in your message at 11 about the sovereignty of God, and that God is really in charge, and even all things work together for good to the believer by the sovereignty of God. That's amazing. So so that's one category. The other one is the Gilligan Island category, which is the castaway, the unapproved ones, the ones that are kind of lost on some island, and that, you know, is estrangement from God. I have a few verses here that we were at one time without covenant and without hope. That's what we were as unbelievers in Ephesians 2:12. We have Jeremiah 2:5, also Psalm 58:3. We were born really alienated from God, born in iniquity and lost and without understanding, without his presence. But then you remember Jacob in his dream, God was here and I didn't know it. And how, you know, we are being exhorted and encouraged to, like, come into his presence. Come boldly. Recognize who Christ is. The privilege of approaching God when you feel unworthy. You might say, I'm on Gilligan's Island today. I'm a castaway and lost. And we would say to you, come boldly. Realize who you are. You are adopted as a child. Enter into his presence with joy, his praise with thanksgiving, and know who you are. This is the blessing of a new identity. So I like that, you know, coming boldly, believing, embracing. Come to the church. It's time to come back to church and come close and be close to God. It's time to go to your closet, your prayer closet, and come boldly into the presence of God and pray in secret, and he will reward you openly. It's time to meet together, two or three gathered in his name, and to approach God in faith.
Amen. Yeah. There's so much healing that God is ready just to pour out on our lives. And it is interesting that, you know, a lot of that is contingent. I don't want to say it's contingent upon what we do, but it's contingent upon where we place ourselves. In other words, to make a decision by faith to say, I'm going to draw near to God. Practically speaking, that means I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to the Bible study. I'm going to take advantage of the prayer meeting or the rap session or the lunch hour. All of that is so important. I mean, sometimes I think we talk about it a lot that, you know, showing up is more than half of what leads to healing and help and deliverance.
And, you know, when I was in Finland, I was very encouraged. I met Finns that I've known years ago, and some are far living out, you know, not in Helsinki, but in other parts of the country. And I don't always see them at conferences, but they came and saw me, and they said, I'm listening to Grace Hour. I listen to your morning devotional. It's for us in the after later in the afternoon. Before I go to bed, I listen. And then I talked to Paul Nye this morning here in Baltimore and asked him how many devices in a month are tuned in. And he said 11,000. You know, it's a lot of devices that are tapping into morning devotionals, messages, Grace Hour, lunch wraps, classes. I don't know if that includes the Bible college, but I would say that what you just said, it takes I make an effort, and I'm listening, and I have an ear to hear what is the Spirit saying to the church, like we read in Revelation.
Yeah, it's always so encouraging to hear that people, maybe even that we don't see anymore because they're in different geographical locations, are still very much connected with the message. Very encouraging. Well, friends, we've reached the end of our first half hour here in this Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour, but another half hour is coming up, which means the phone lines are wide open, ready for you to fill up. Here are the numbers. Toll free in North America, 800-338-7060. You can dial that number and join us live in Canada and the United States. And then locally in the Baltimore area, you friends can join us at 410-483-3700. We hope to hear from many of you here locally as well. So another half hour coming up. For those of you that have to leave us, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. You can join us then. And we're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org, live on the internet, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We've signed off on our local station here in Baltimore, but hopefully some of you that were listening locally found your way over to the internet, and you can join us for the second half hour. Those phone lines are open, and we're very interested in hearing from you. We'd like to know what your thoughts are. This is an all-important theme, how God has sent his word, and that word heals in so many different ways and in so many different aspects of our lives. And maybe you could share a testimony about how it's done just that for you. We'd love to hear your testimony, or if you have a comment, a question, or a counseling need, something that we could assist you with. We'll do our best here as we take your calls live on the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. Phil has been waiting to join us. He was listening and like to make a comment. Phil, welcome to the Grace Hour. Go right ahead. Hi, Phil. Are you there? Okay.
Hello.
There you are, Phil. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. It's a privilege to comment on this message. The messages we hear are so dynamite. I'm getting built up today by my lovely, my precious daughter who's home with us now, and she's a servant leader. She's a leader as a teenager, and she's awesome. She's blessing my life in the home. And she's dynamite. My wife is out with Diane Turmel ministering and going from helping me. She's a great helpmate. I'm overjoyed. I'm filled with the fullness of God. I love it. I love my life. I just love it. I thank God for Pastor Schaller. It's an amazing portion. I just think it's awesome. Pastor, I love it. I love life. I thank God that he's healed me. Healed me.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. great. That's a great testimony and a great way to get us started with our phone calls here today. Thanks so much for the call, Phil.
Well,
yes, sir.
Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That's a good word for, it doesn't mean that God exempts us from suffering. It's only that through the suffering, he's with us. I talked to a brother today who had COVID, and he was sharing with me how he nearly died. His breathing oxygen intake went down to 62. You know, it needs to be like 95. Not below 90, but his drop to 62. And the nurse said to the other nurse that they were losing him. He heard him say that. And they put more oxygen on him and forced the oxygen in him. He lived. And he told me about his experience in the hospital for a week and then finally getting out and with oxygen as he and that story was very good. Like I'm thinking of all of our sisters and brothers in the world that have gone through this COVID sickness, this pandemic, this disease that can attack your lungs, not always, but attack your lungs and really, you know, it can kill you. But he was also saying that he felt like, we shared some things. I don't want to say it on the radio, but I just think that this verse is relevant. It's when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So we are talking today, Pastor Love, about Gilligan's Island, being a castaway, wandering from understanding, kind of being lost out there somehow, and then the value of drawing nigh, drawing near, and also in his presence is there that healing. So here are a few verses. I have set the Lord always before me, Psalm 16, verse 8. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Thank you, Lord. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Jeremiah 23:23. They that should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Acts 17:27. Oh, I just think it is good for me to draw near to God. Psalm 73:28. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all his works. Yeah, so there we go. James 4:8, the last one. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. What better deal could you have? Draw near to God, take one step toward him, he'll take two toward you. Get close to God, he will get close to you. Yeah.
I like that. I like the fact that God, you know, wants us to initiate. I mean, obviously, he's always initiating to us. Just the fact that he would even say that to us is his initiation. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. But he's just looking for that. It's not much of a step, is it? I mean, it's not overwhelming. It's not difficult. He's not asking us to do something that is impossible to do. It's something very, it's almost like you turn toward him.
Yes.
And he says, that's enough. You're trusting me. You're looking to me. You're believing me. I can do so much for you when you make that step. And good news too, you know, I spoke with John Nielsen yesterday and, oh, he sounded so well. He had been in the hospital for over a month and battling COVID. And boy, he said something to me that was really amazing. He said at one point he remembers either a nurse or a doctor in the room with him when he was having very, you know, difficult time breathing. And the doctor said to him, "Don't go blue on me." He heard him say that,
okay,
which he knew that meant he was going to stop breathing. He says, "You can't go blue on me." And, what a thing to remember.
Was that me? Don't become a Democrat?
That might have had something to do with it. I stay in the red. I need you to stay Republican. But, you know, God bless him. He sounded great. He sounded healthy. He's in physical therapy and possibly coming home within the next couple of days.
Yeah, I talked to him today. Sounded good. Yeah. I mean, it's a horrible thing. I mean, to go through that, and at the same time, what we're seeing in our program is, what about people who are not prepared? What about people who are far from God? What about people who die and actually are lost? What about people who don't have any hope in this life? It's a horrible way to live. I would seek God. I would start looking for God. If I was in this world without Christ, I would start asking questions. I would start doing investigation. I would pray to God. I would ask God to help me. I would ask him to lead me in my life. And actually, that is what happened to me. I was 17 years old when I started to do that, and I got saved when I was 19. The minute somebody told me about Christ, I said, yes, I want that. I mean, it was clear to me. It doesn't make sense to live life without Christ, without God, and without hope. Come on, are you kidding? But they do it. They push it off. They don't believe. They make their excuses. They are afraid of it. They don't know what it means. But, I mean, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Lucy Halinga has reached out to us. Says, welcome back, Pastor Shelley. Greetings from Brent and Lucy in Columbia. They're doing great here. Thank you so much for the Grace Hour, the internet. We can hear live words. Thank you, God, for giving us great church and pastors, and we can bring this divine healing to the country of Columbia.
Wow, I am jealous.
Yeah.
I am jealous. Is the same time zone, is it?
I believe it.
Or is it the central
time? It's pretty close.
Yeah,
it's pretty
1 hour maybe behind.
Yeah, so they're listening to live to the Grace Hour. That's wonderful.
Mm.
Great news. They just recently arrived there. They left Baltimore just a matter of days ago and starting a local church right there in Columbia.
That's a new church. Now, we have two more places this year where we want to start churches. And that is Singapore, and then also Namibia, Africa. So those are two new countries. And be praying for more, because it's time to go and plant churches. It's actually, I expect a new wave of people going out and doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. Why I think to share the message. Evangelism and mission work is the greatest thing going on the earth today. There's no doubt about it, to bring the message of Christ and to preach the gospel.
And we like to think that maybe because of this pandemic, there'll be a great white harvest ready to be reaped.
Yes, well, they were in Richmond.
Yep.
And they came back with that word.
Yeah.
And I was in Finland in four different cities, and was very encouraged by the brothers and sisters there, and think in these terms that we have work to do, that the message of Christ is a joy, that people are listening, that there is a need to open our mouths, to initiate, to reach out, to share, to open the home, to bring the message, to have a prayer time and anticipate more good things happening.
Mm, and they will. Amen. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number locally here in Baltimore. You can join us at 410-483-3700. And Lauren is joining us from Port Chester, New York. That's upstate New York, I believe. Lauren, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor Love. Good afternoon, Pastor Saylor. Pastor Love, I heard your sermon. It was on Sunday. I didn't hear it live the first time because it was in the morning, but I was able to hear it later in the day about God's faithfulness and about, well, you made it very clear that we often don't understand why God's putting us through different things, and then eventually, eventually it becomes clear, and then you brought up that story about this Navy seaman who got blown into the water, and that it turned out his mother was the one who helped make the life preserver for him.
Right.
That was very good. And one other thing is, you were talking something about atheism yesterday, and it reminded me. First of all, I don't really believe deep down inside there's really such a thing as an atheist. People may say they are, but anyhow, a number of weeks ago, I was going to my church to help take care of something, and I noticed there was this lady. She was looking at the sign of the church, and when we started crossing paths, I said to her, why don't you come in sometime? You know, I thought, well, this might be an opportunity. I invited her to come to church. And she said to me, oh, no, I'm an atheist. And then we quietly went our ways, no argument or nothing like that. And I tried to say to her, well, there certainly aren't any atheists in foxholes.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
But I think that's the first time something like that's ever happened to me in my life. And so, listen, my Pastor Shaler, I'm going to be watching out for you also. I heard, like I just told y'all, I heard Pastor Love the other day. I was able to have that privilege. So I just wanted to share that. Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Well, and keep sharing the faith, Lauren.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good word to an atheist. There aren't any atheists in foxholes. What do you think he means by that, Pastor Love?
Well, when you're in close proximity to death, you start thinking about eternity. You start thinking about, hey, where am I going to go if I'm killed in battle in the midst of this warfare? And I think a lot of people, we hear about it, a lot of professions are made, you know, a lot of commitments are made in a foxhole. Get me out of this, Lord, and I'll live for you, I'll serve you. But what about his comment? He doesn't believe that there are any real atheists. What do you think about that? Are there?
Yeah, it seems if you were really an atheist, you wouldn't be. I don't know, when something doesn't exist or you don't believe it exists, then, you know, it's not in your mind. And I suppose they could be like that, but then when life really presses in on you, you know, you can't deny it, that there must be, you know, something responsible for the whole thing. And you hate God, maybe, or you curse God. And, you know, that's how maybe it's not that they're an atheist, it's just that they are troubled by life and they curse God or they hate God.
Yeah.
The wicked say they say, it says in Psalm 14, I'm sure you know this, in the Hebrew it says, know God. But in the King James it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But that's not the right reading. The fool says in his heart, no God, you know, N-O, like no God. It means I am negating God, you know. I am like canceling him out, you know. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't believe he doesn't believe in God. It just saying no to God, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the lines that people would have to cross to get to a place where they could confidently say, because I don't think that you can. You really can't say there's no God. How do you know? Have you overturned every rock in the universe?
Yeah.
You can't say
no,
that.
No, it's actually a foolish thing to take the position of assuming I have so much knowledge that I could say that God doesn't exist. That's very foolish, you know.
Yeah.
Bertrand Russell was asked, what if when you die you meet God, what would you say to him? And he would say, why didn't you give more evidence of yourself?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So there is a good, that's a good story that even an atheist would, it would actually be, would have an argument to God when he met God, you know?
Yeah. And it's great to hear the testimony of those who once professed to be atheists and
convert.
They were converted.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a very good book written by, what is it, Anthony Flew. He is, or if he's still alive, a professor who for 50 years was a professed atheist and argued against it. And he got converted. Mm. He changed. He believes in God.
Praise God.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Great testimonies.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Pastor Steve Perigallo, he's joining us right here from the Baltimore area. Pastor Steve, welcome.
Hey. Hey, yesterday, like Brian called in late, and he was saying this verse in Proverbs 29:19, like it says that a servant is not corrected with words. And then it says, though you speak to him, he will not do something or other. And it was kind of like, I shouldn't have said or other, but whatever. But the point is that, like what you're saying.
Okay, wait a minute. You're calling like radio Proverbs, and you're butchering a Bible verse on the radio. So why not turn to it and read it? 29:19, is it?
Yeah.
It says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer.
And it goes like it goes along with what you were saying, because like Brian called up late yesterday with that, like, what does that mean? And we were talking about it. And it's like, if a guy doesn't, if we don't humble ourselves and receive the word, then it doesn't profit us, like Pastor Love was saying. And it's like, I think a servant in this case is the guy, even though he's a servant, like he has a block in his mind of why he won't receive your words. Like he hears the word, but he puts it in a spot in his mind, like this word's coming from my master who's like, doesn't really like me or something.
Oh.
So he puts it in a spot in his mind where he's really not receiving that word. You know, it's like he's a servant. He's not receiving like a word from somebody to benefit him. He's receiving a word like, and he has a wound or a block or a misconception about like who's saying it to him, and like a poor self-image or whatever it is. But it's like, you know, if we don't receive the word, like, you know, even like an atheist, he has an idea in his head that he won't humble himself and receive. You know, and it's like God sent his word to heal him, you know, and it says in like in Mark, I think it's Mark 5, where Jesus, the power of God was there to heal, but nobody was getting healed. You know, it's like.
Mm. This is very good. Very good. Let me repeat it, because all that you're saying is so good. A servant will not be corrected by words. So you're saying there could be a person. They are listening to the teaching, but it doesn't help them. They can't really be corrected by it because they kind of subjectively relate to it and put it in some category in their mind.
Yeah, like I there's times, it's funny, like what the times that I've been an employer, I've kind of felt like that. There's certain things I'm going to be able to say to this guy now that I'm paying his bills or paying his wage, that he won't receive a lot of stuff from me now. It's like, you just get that feeling that, you know, it's like, they're always, you know, there's a different relationship once you cross into that. And it's like, I think people, you know, a lot of times they don't put themselves in a place to receive. You know, I don't know what it is, you know, they're wounded or are you proud or, you know, I guess sometimes those things go together, you know.
All right, so you're relating this to what we're saying about an atheist.
Yeah.
An atheist listening to somebody evangelizing them or sharing with them, and they don't hear you, really, or they don't. Even though they understand what you're saying, they really don't maybe care about it, or they don't really understand it.
Yeah, and I think it goes along too, like you used to say in hermeneutics or something, like if you put the Bible over you, it's your authority, but if you don't put yourself under it, like if you put yourself over the Bible, now you're not going to receive anything from it because you think, you know, more than God or something. It's amazing. Like, you know, but that God wants to heal us with his word. But like, will we listen? You know, will we put ourselves under and listen to it, receive it, and benefit from it or not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I heard some young man say to me when I was 16 years old, my father would say this or that to me, but I really didn't care what he was saying. But then when I was 30 years old and relating to what he said, I understood it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Sometimes your perspective changes and you put yourself under, you start to receive. It's like, I don't know what it takes for people to do that, you know, they have to humble themselves.
Another example of that is the Pharisees listening to Jesus. I mean, as they listen, I mean, they don't really get it, right? It says the servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understands, he will not answer. So, you know, I could see the Pharisees listening to Jesus, but they, you know, they're not hearing him.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't we hear Dr. Stevens say this sometimes, or quoting from Matthew, for you have, you do not have ears to hear, and you worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me.
Yeah, there it is. Well, anyways, yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Great call.
Man, that's a good one. Wow. Do it again.
Keep it up.
See you later. Thank you.
Amen.
I love you guys.
Thanks so much. Let's go up to New York City. Pastor John Cooper is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Pastor Cooper, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Pastor Shallow, good to see you back. We're praying for you while you were in Finland, and we're just blessed once again by your stopping in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, Pastor Love. I flew out of JFK, so I stopped by the church. We ate together. We had a little meal together. We had fellowship. Minor prophets class students were there. Johnny Cooper was there. Then Pastor Sterling and Barbara drove me out there to the airport. It was a big deal. They didn't have to do that. But not only that, but they persisted. And finally, I got on the plane with a negative COVID test, and everything went well.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about that. That's why we pray for all of the details and thank God for your faithfulness and your persistence in the mission. I love this theme today, especially that verse, Pastor Love, where you were saying he sent his word and he healed them. And I was thinking, you know, in the light of I've worked for 26 years in the healthcare system, human resources, but I knew in 26 years a lot of the operations of the hospital. At one point, they used to call me the face of the hospital. But so you use this expression, healthcare system. And I saw a YouTube video from this doctor that was really saying it's a sick care system, because most of the time when people go in there, they're sick. But it's not a healthcare, you're like reacting to sickness. But I was thinking of the local assembly, like where, you know, everyone has sick heads, Isaiah 1:5-6. But we come and we hear the word of God, and this is a place, this is the genuine health care system, spirit for soul, for our emotions, for our thought processes, how our world view and our outlook is transformed through the word of God, and being not only under it, but being receptive to it. And it's the place of genuine, true healing. So I just love that reality that, you know, we're a Christ-centered, word-centered teaching ministry. And we have the privilege of, you know, just categorical initiation. And I think of you, Pastor Schaller, that book that you and Pastor Simon wrote in Biblical Psychology, where you were speaking of the neuroplasticity of the mind. That stuck with me, that ability for Psalm 16 where the lines can fall into pleasant places in the transformation process. So I just love this theme, the word, and the ministry and the provision that God has given us for true and genuine healing.
Wow, great to hear the call, Pastor Cooper. Appreciate it. Really encouraging.
Great thoughts.
Good word. Yeah. Wow. We are blessed with a healing body, soul, and spirit. And you know, in the medical world, they know the body's connected to your neurological system. That's connected with your spiritual life. I mean, we are more than just flesh and blood. We are a unit. A whole unit of spirit, soul, and body, and only the Bible really makes that clear. Thank you so much for your call. Pastor Love, I see on Facebook here, Lester, he wrote a comment there, and I just want to give a shout-out to him. I've been with him years ago in India, an old friend, faithful, working at the airport, and I just wanted to say, Lester, I see your name, and I'm thankful for your life. And thank you for your comment. God bless you.
Amen. And thanks all of you friends for joining us today. We're out of time, but we'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope you'll make plans to join us then. Until then, may God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.